You know, I often thought, well, a missionary, he's going out to the Caribbean because of the sunshine. Yeah, but it's not like that. You know, it can be tough. It can be disappointing. It can be discouraging. You can suffer ill health because you go to such a place. Or you might say, well, I'd like to be a missionary in Greenland. With, I don't know what you call them here, but in the old days we used to call them Eskimo. And the Inuit, the people who live in Greenland. And there's a call, come and visit us. But you know, you'll get disappointment there. It's going to be tough wherever the Lord sends you. The Lord may send you just down the end of the street where you live. And there'll be disappointments and there'll be discouragements. But if the Lord sends you, you'll put, as it were, your hand on the plough and keep ploughing. And you won't look left or right and you won't turn back. And you'll keep going to the object of pleasing the Lord. And the Lord wants those who are ready to go into his service. Now, there's one other thing which I'd like. This is illustrative now. A bit of history. In the good old days, in the 1700s, there was a group of Christians called the United Brethren. And there was a very famous man, Nikolai Ludwig von Zinzendorf und von Pottendorf was his name. We normally call him von Zinzendorf. You might have even seen his name at the back of the list of hymn writers in the hymn book. Zinzendorf. Well, he with others were very concerned about all sorts of Christian matters, unity of the Lord's people and how that might be expressed. But one of the things they thought very seriously about was spreading the gospel and serving the Lord beyond the shores or beyond the bounds of their native Moravia and part of Germany, I suppose, German speaking. And they desired to spread the gospel to Greenland, I've already mentioned that, to the West Indies, and many places. And they spread the gospel. But you know, in those days there was a terrible evil that plagued the earth, and it was called slavery. And they were forbidden to preach to slaves. That was the law. It was absolutely illegal, in the terms of the language of that day, to preach to persons of color. So what would the Moravians do? What would these United Brethren do in those days, in the far off days? How could they preach to slaves? How could they bring the gospel? The Lord had sent them. You know what they did? They sold themselves into slavery. They themselves became slaves in order that they might share the gospel with their fellow men. And they did that with great success. Now over the centuries, now it's two or three centuries, the decline of those groups is marked by the fact that they've gone somewhat off the rails. But in the early days, they had great power because the gospel went out. And you know what was the foundation of that great power as the gospel went out? It was prayer. They had a prayer meeting. How long? What's the longest prayer meeting you've ever been to? Half an hour? An hour? An hour, prayer. No, their prayer meeting lasted 100 years. How's that possible? They prayed every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year for 100 years. What a long prayer meeting. And in that time, I'll tell you how they did it later on, but they had 100-year prayer meeting. And in that time, they were sending out 1 in 4 of their number into the gospel work. 25% of the Moravian Brethren, the United Brethren, went out into the gospel. Because the great thing that undergirded their activity and their interest in spreading their testimony was prayer. And that is a vital thing, my dear friends, is that you give yourself to prayer. That you might learn some of these Christian values, and that there might be a quality and a depth to your Christianity which has such character that you might be, like we read in Daniel, people who know their God. That's how you get to know God, by being in communion with him. And you'll be strong and you'll do exploits. And it's my prayer that God will work as a result of these meetings here at Grove City this year, and that there will be fruit in your life of service There's a great need. I can't tell you how great the need is. The Lord's coming so soon. And there are many, many thousands who have never heard of the Lord. You've heard of the our brother now, Ishmael. He said, I was 20 before I'd heard about the Lord Jesus by someone giving me a Bible. There are people in your neighborhood who need to know about the Lord. There are people in far off India who, if you speak to them about Jesus, they say, Jesus? Who's that? Is that a politician? Or is he a film star? They have no idea of that wonderful, lovely name of the Savior. Will you go out to preach to them? Will you go out to share to them? Will you go out to tell them about the Lord Jesus? There are people in need who are in complete ignorance about the happy and wonderful things that you hear of every day here, if not also in your own homes and assemblies. So I hope there's some challenge there. I could tell you lots of things. If you've got any questions, speak to me about it. How do they do the prayer meeting? All right, well, that's very good. You could start that prayer meeting even now. All right, I'm serious. They had two or three prayed for an hour, the 11th hour. And the next two or three prayed for the 12th hour. And the next two or three would pray for the hour after that. And the next two or three, it would then be 1 o'clock in the morning, and then 2 o'clock in the morning, then 3 o'clock in the morning, and so round the clock. And so they preached by rota continually for 100 years. Prayed. I beg your pardon. Thank you for the correction. See, I'm not very good at speaking. So they prayed for 100 years like that. It's very simple. But they were very diligent in doing it. And they watched in the matter of prayer. And that's what you can do. And it can have good effect. It would be a wonderful thing if the Lord started a prayer meeting of such a character, which produced such fruit, that one in four of you at least, if not all, went out into the Lord's service. Not necessarily on a foreign field, but even in your own school, in your own street. Make your own street the first mission field. That's what the Lord told the disciples right at the beginning. He said, you live in Jerusalem, you start in Jerusalem. And then you can go to Judea, and then it's just surrounding district. Then you go to Samaria, and then later on the uttermost parts of the earth. But you start in your own street. The Lord wants you to be a missionary in your own street. No use being a missionary in China unless you started locally and had some practice. And the Lord's prepared you for the circumstances of distant service. All right. Well, I think I've said enough. Should we just pray?